The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says at least 14,000 people, mostly civilians, have now died in Syria since the start of the revolt against President Bashar al-Assad. And the violence shows no sign of ending, despite the presence of some 300 United Nations observers in the country. Syrian government forces have again pounded areas in Homs in a renewed push to regain control of rebel-held territories. And overnight, the British Foreign Secretary William Hague said Syria now resembling Bosnia in the 1990s, that is on the verge of collapse into sectarian civil war. But amid all the international pressure, President Bashar al-Assad remains firmly in power. Patrick Seale is an author and journalist who's observed Syria for more than 40 years. His many books, including Assad of Syria, a biography of Hafez, the father of the current Syrian President Bashar. And Patrick Seale with us now from his home in southern France. Good morning, Patrick Seale.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you for joining us. And may I start by asking whether you agree with William Hague when he says Syria resembles Bosnia?
Well, there's no question, but things have taken a sharp turn for the worse in the last week or so. I mean, there are about 100 rebel groups now waging a hit-and-run urban guerrilla war against the regime. Just in the last 10 days, they've killed about 250 government troops. Now, I think I should mention that there's been a major new development. I don't know if you caught up with it.
This is the move into Damascus?
Well, a very serious German newspaper, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, has concluded, after a very careful investigation on the ground, that the Hula massacre of a couple of weeks ago was committed not by the regime's militias, but by anti-Assad Sunni militants. The victims were almost exclusively from families belonging to the minority Alawi and Shia groups. Now, these, apparently immediately after the massacre, the perpetrators filmed their victims and in videos posted on the internet, presented them as Sunni victims. The clear intention was to trigger a Western military intervention.
What is the evidence used by the newspaper to make this conclusion?
Well, I mean, they sent people to investigate this on the ground. I've just seen their report. It seems, I mean, and as you know, it's a very serious newspaper. It's perhaps one of the most serious in Germany. So we all know that the opposition strategy, even if it were to get additional weapons to now pouring in, it knows that it can't defeat the Syrian army by itself. It needs and wants a Western military intervention, and it clearly hopes that massacres of this sort will provide a pretext for one, as indeed it looks like it, before this latest bit of evidence.
Tell me about Bashar al-Assad, the man. You say he has no hand on the basis of this newspaper article from the Hula massacre. We know he's a man that, you know, can reach extremes in other aspects, personally and politically. Tell me about him.
Well, I mean, as you know, he was trained as an eye doctor. He is the front man for the regime. He's the president. But, as you know, they're fighting a war. And in a war, the people who have the real power are the military chiefs and the intelligence and security chiefs. And they are the ones who are really running this war. It's hard to think that he is running it. He's not a man who's had much military experience. He wasn't intended for the presidency. It was his elder brother, who was a much tougher character, was killed in a car crash. And so they brought Bashar back from Britain, where he was studying ophthalmology, and propelled him up to the presidency.
Does that make him a puppet?
I wouldn't call him a puppet by any means. He's an intelligent fellow. But as I say, the regime is fighting for its life. And when I say the regime, it means all its supporters. The Ba'ath Party, which has supporters right across the country, of course, it's been going since 1963. And, of course, the officer corps. These are the two main props of the regime. If you recall, in Iraq, after the British and the Americans invaded Iraq, they disbanded the army, they outlawed the party. What happened? The state collapsed, and the result was a fantastic sectarian civil war, which killed hundreds of thousands and drove literally millions off out of their homes and often out of the country.
Isn't one of the reasons why Syria is now at danger of repeating that folly because Assad and those who want to keep him in power are inflexible in their response to legitimate calls for change.
Look, there's no question that the opposition at home had legitimate grievances. No question about that. Of course, there was neglect, there was corruption, there was crony capitalism, there was a drought over several years, which meant that hundreds of thousands of people had to leave the countryside, come into shanty towns around the town. The government hadn't got the means to really properly look after them. All that's true. But there's also, and this is the most important thing, there's also an external conspiracy against the regime. I mean, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has openly called for the overthrow of the Assad regime. The United States and its Israeli allies want to overthrow Assad in order to weaken and isolate Iran.
Might it not be, though, that they are calling for the right thing for the wrong reasons?
Well, you know, they are thinking of their own strategic interests.
As is Iran, when they're backing Assad and giving snipers and militia to him to target unarmed civilians in protest marches?
Well, look, both sides are looking for their own interests. Now, any country, whatever the color of its government, would not tolerate armed groups on its territory. And that's the situation in Syria today. What do you think the United States is doing when it's attacking people in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in Somalia, and killing civilians with each drone strike? Just this week, it killed 18 women and children in Afghanistan. Is this a case of double standards? We have to look at that also. I mean, the Israeli Prime Minister just today called the Syrian-Iranian Hezbollah alliance an axis of evil. We know where that phrase came from. Shimon Peres, the Israeli president, has expressed the hope that the rebels will win. So the key to the Syrian crisis lies outside Syria.
We're with Dr. Patrick Seale, the author of Assad of Syria, The Struggle for the Middle East. Obviously, we're seeing the events in Syria becoming a proxy. The rebels are armed and backed by Qatar, Saudi Arabia, given political support by Turkey. Isn't the situation, however, a case where it's the Assad regime which has seen it come to this? They rejected peaceful, democratic means. The protests were largely civilian a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we saw the nature of their response.
That's not entirely correct. It is true that they made the colossal mistake of resorting right from the beginning with live fire. And that has been their strategy all along. They were so terrified that they started killing. Now, very quickly after that, only a matter of three or four weeks after that first incident in March 2011 at Deraa, the opposition started arming itself. And that, in my view, was political insanity. Had it remained unarmed and peaceful, it should have had a much stronger case. But unfortunately, today, I still believe the best option lies with the Annan plan. This is Kofi Annan, you know, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, mandated by both the UN and the Arab League.
And strictly observed, but strictly observed by neither side, the rebels and Assad not obeying the plan.
Well, there's a fundamental contradiction in Western policy. It pays lip service to the plan, to the Annan plan, but it's arming the rebels. I mean, that's undercutting the Annan plan. Maximum pressure should be put on both sides to abide by the ceasefire and come to the table. The best option remains diplomacy. If that is thrown out of the window, then I'm afraid we are heading for a sectarian civil war on the Iraqi pattern. And then we have to ask ourselves, what will be the nature of a post-Assad regime? Will it be the Muslim Brothers, bent on revenge? What about the Christians? They're 10% Christians. Will they face massacre or expulsion like Iraq's Christian community? What about chaos in the whole region?
Patrick Seale, important questions. Thank you for being with us this morning.
And thank you.
Dr. Patrick Seale is the author of Assad of Syria, The Struggle for the Middle East. ABC RN Breakfast, 12 to 7.